Hey, Pat, how'd you spend your summer vacation?
The bulk of it in terms of like non-everyday stuff, in terms of work and all that, is I spent a lot of time at the beach. I bought a kayak. Those are my highlights.
That sounds lovely. Did you get a good tan?
I got an okay tan. I can burn pretty easily, but so I don't get a great tan. But I did okay for myself. I felt okay about my effort.
And you didn't spend the summer wrapped up in knots of anxiety about the news and the toilet state of the planet?
I tried not to think about it as much as I could.
That's good. I endeavor to do that. I think I had an anxiety-filled summer, taking care of a very old bulldog and watching the Baltimore Orioles self-immolate, which I know you did too.
And I did.
You actually seemed to care more than I did.
Yeah, it was about what I expected. So no big deal.
This is an interesting thing that we'll get to in a little bit, because you are a bit of a, I don't want to call you like an Orioles pessimist, but you're like an informed Orioles realist, whereas I am a naive Orioles optimist. And let's reassess those roles and the dynamism there too when we talk about the Capitals of 2016-17. Wait a minute, 2017-18. Wow, I forgot what year we're in. Anyway, welcome everybody to the Rush Machine RMNB podcast. Let's get to it.
And now it's time for the RMNB podcast.
Before we get into it, I just wanted to throw out this for everybody out there that if you want to get early access to Rush Machine content, videos, audio podcasts like this one right here, as well as special fun things that we throw up on the site from time to time, you can subscribe or really support Rush Machine on Patreon or Patreon, depending on how you pronounce it. I still don't really know what that is. There's a bunch of different tiers, and you can pay whatever you want, and Rush Machine content will always be free and open. But if you want to help us, you know, pay people, that's a really good way to do it. At the $20 a month level, you can join what I think is by far the most successful thing we do with the Patreon, which is the Crashers group chat. Pat, do you agree about that?
Yeah, I love the Crashers group chat.
Yeah, they're my favorite people. Anyway, thank you so much for hanging with us on the Rush Machine podcast. We got a lot to cover today because we're sort of like kicking off the brand new season, and I gotta plead ignorance about a bunch of stuff. I feel like so much is happening, so many players that I thought were sure things to make the team, it seems like they're not so much. And Pat, I was hoping you could sort of catch me up on who's in, who's out, who's in Hershey and who's in DC, who's got a contract and who doesn't.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think in terms of the who's in, who's out, the couple biggest surprises were Madison Bowie got sent to Hershey. He won't be playing on the third pair right D, which I think was a surprise because the Caps really don't have a right D to play on that third pair with him and Hershey. But the Caps chose to not expose any number of replacement level players. Well, a couple replacement level players like Chorney and Ness to waivers. And instead sent Bowie down because he didn't have to clear waivers to go down. So he's down.
So that's the decision? Like it's not like a... Hey, it's not like we don't think this player is terrific. It's more like because I can send him down, then he's the expendable one.
Right. I mean, you know, to look at it the other way around, if he had to clear waivers, there's no way in the world he would have been sent down. And if someone like Aaron Ness or even Chorney did not have to clear waivers, I would think they would be down instead.
And a couple, like last week, you published a guest post about cutting Chorney. Did the Capitals cut Chorney?
They did not. He will be playing on his offside on the right-hand side of the third defensive pair on opening night, according to how practice has gone the last 2 days.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Cool. What else is happening?
So I think the other surprise was that Christian Juice will not be in the opening night lineup. I think a lot of people were hoping that he would take the left D position on the second pair. Instead, Brooks Orpik will bump up from the third pair to the second pair, and Aaron Ness will play the third pair left side, and Juice will be watching from the press box unless something changes between now and game time.
That's fascinating, because like Juice and Bowie, I think more than anybody else, were the two young defensemen that spelled promise, even if it was like unquantified promise for the team. And to see that neither of them are playing an opening night sort of pours, you know, cold water on what could have been a lot of excitement. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, do we want to get into the Barry Trotz quote from today about it now, or you want to hold that?
You know what, let's put a pin in that, because I think there's a whole lot more.
There's more. Let's go down the roster more first, and then we'll double back to that.
Can you tell me how to pronounce the name of the player that the Capitals signed today? Because I think I overpronounce it.
I mean, I just say it. Chason.
Chason.
Yeah, that's how I say it. Is it? Now you got me doubting myself. I just assumed that's how it was done. Or said.
I don't know. I would be like Chaya-san. Yeah.
There was the defenseman for the, I think it was the Red Wings back, I don't know.
Yes.
10, 15 years ago. Wasn't that Steve Chason? And didn't he spell it the same way?
Yeah, but I didn't have any friends to talk about hockey with, so I never get to say his name out loud. And they were both spelled the same way, but yeah. Stevie Chiasson.
Chiasson.
Are they related?
Not that I know of.
And we're still sure that Forsberg isn't related to Peter Forsberg?
Fairly certain.
Okay, fair enough. So the Caps signed Alex Chiasson to a one-year contract for how much money?
What was it? Was it $650,000 or $660,000, somewhere around the league minimum?
Yeah, I think it was $660,000. Is that league minimum, like right about?
$650,000 is now the league minimum now. You do have guys like an Aaron Ness is making less than that because he signed his deal before the minimum goes up.
That's so. What is Alex Chiasson going to be in the lineup on Thursday?
So it looks like that he's going to play on the third line.
The third line,
in place of Tom Wilson, who's suspended. Tom Wilson is suspended. And so it looks like he'll start there.
So I wasn't in. I think I can brag about this because I didn't have anything to do with it myself. But the fact I just know that Ian was a gosh darn pit bull, like tracking down video of this hit, like the Phantom Tom Wilson hit, the untelevised game hit. Like
yeah, and he
I can't
got
believe
it.
That he got it. That's awesome. But so that's for the people that are like me catching up. That's Tom Wilson's second suspension of the preseason. And his first and second suspensions of his career. I know that's a hard one to get under your to sort of parse in your head. And he'll be out for the first four games of the season.
Correct.
Did I get all that right?
You did.
And are you okay with the suspension?
Yeah. I honestly thought the first hit was a lot worse than the second. But if they want to crack down on hits like the second one, I'm all for it. It would be a change in how they police those type of hits. I'm not really sure how to describe it to people who didn't see it, but
blindside.
Yeah,
borderline blindside.
One commenter said it was somebody in the comments, and I thought they were very right. Compared it to the hit on Brooks Orpik against the Flyers, I think in the playoffs a couple years ago. Was it White? Who hit him, I think. Where Orpik was kind of pinned against the boards. And so it wasn't like a boarding to where you sent him like head first into the boards dangerously because he was already there, but it was just kind of unnecessary and in the back. And these kind of hits happen a lot, I think. But when you're a dude as big as Wilson, you can do a lot of damage on hits like that. And I'm fine if the NHL wants to get rid of hits like that because they're really not necessary. And when you have guys as big as Wilson running around, they can hurt people.
Yeah, I think like people are sort of sick of my opinion of Tom Wilson. So I'll state this perspective, which is that getting rid of these hits from hockey doesn't mean changing what hockey is, because these hits weren't in hockey 25 years ago. And by that, I mean, like, and there was still, there was nasty stuff happening on the game. There was, I mean, there's, there, it was a dirty game. There's way more fighting. There's way more restraining penalties. But players dodged, or didn't dodge, but didn't follow through on their hits until really the 2000s. Like the game got heavier in the 90s and especially in the 2000s. And hits did get nastier. I'm not saying that, like, guys who play in the 80s didn't get concussions all the time. But if you look at even playoff hockey, which is the easiest hockey to find on like YouTube, you see guys who are passing by hits that, like, even Dmitry Orlov would hit today. And I think that maybe the Department of Player Safety getting aggressive on these is in a way not, like, fiddling with the game, but perhaps in another way restoring it to a time when the sport was, frankly, more fun to watch, in my opinion.
Yep, I'm with you. I mean, the hit by Wilson, it doesn't really do a lot to affect the play. He could just as easily have the same impact by coming in and pinning the guy.
That's
rather than checking
the,
him.
That hit and it's not having an effect on the game is sort of a microcosm of Tom Wilson's career. what else is happening?
So you've got Jakob Vrana is going to open the season on the second line. So that is one of the young guys that coming into camp had an opportunity to do something, and it looks like that he's at least earned the trust of the coaching staff for a spot in the top six for now. So you've got that going on. The other,
if I recall correctly, Pat, you were fond of Jakob's play in your snapshots last season. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I thought he was great in the time that he was up. His possession numbers, his individual shot attempt numbers, the Caps had the puck more when he was on the ice than the opponents did. So that's always a good place to start when you're a young, talented forward who can do cool things when your team has the puck.
That's a lot of words for relative Corsi. So fill out the top six for me. Who's with who?
So they went back to the line that worked so well in the playoffs with Burakovsky, Backstrom, and Oshie.
Love it.
Which is a great line, and I think it should be used and probably will be used as the Burakovsky, Backstrom, Johansson line was used last year, and that says the shutdown line. Not in a shutdown line of the way you think of like a checking line back in the day, but a line that can go out against the opponent's top line and take the play to them. So you've got them, and then you have the Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Rana line, which is just, I don't know how that's going to work out. A whole lot of offense, and I'm not sure who's going to play defense, but that's the top six.
We're going to find that one out. That's going to reveal itself fast. It's unfortunate, right? Because it's like that sounds like we got a great line. Me and my friends, the Washington Capitals, have a great top line in that Burakovsky group. That sounds like a fantastic trio right there. But I have a stomach ulcer called Kuznetsov, Ovi, Vrana. I don't know about that one. Which isn't to say that like they won't be explosive and dynamic on the ice. I just think that they'll be explosive and dynamic at both ends of the ice, and that's what scares me.
Right. I'm with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, okay. And the bottom six there's a certain player who is I'm not sure if he's going to make the opening night lineup or not. His name is Nathan Wolka.
Right. He is on the team. As of now, it looks like he's not going to be in the opening night lineup.
That Dougal Hunt? No, so he won't. That's unfortunate.
Right. So
are you laughing because you want me to stop doing my
no, I need
brutal
more of it,
Australian accent?
I think I need more of it.
I can't think of anything else that Australians say.
So yeah, it looks like he won't be on the fourth line to start the season. I think he will spend a lot of time there throughout the season. But on the third line, so you've got Connolly and Eller from last season. Back cool. On the third line, missing the key ingredient, Andrei Burakovsky is in the top six now, obviously. And it looks like that's Tom Wilson's spot when he decides to not be suspended. For now, Chiasson will be in there. And then the fourth line, you got Jay Beagle still holding down the center spot, and two newcomers on the wings in Grayovac and Smith Pelly.
Yeah, I like a Beagle's got like a canteen of iced tea and some jerky sticks, and he's not leaving that fourth line. He's there for the duration.
He's camped
he's
out
there and as you, till the contract is over. Hey, I have this thing about phrases that I don't like in hockey, like cliches that just bug the heck out of me. The one that I never get is the straw that stirs the drink. When you're talking about Burakovsky on that third line, I was like, oh man, is Pat going to say that Burakovsky was the straw that stirs the drink? Do you ever say that, the straw that stirs the drink?
If I've said it, I've said it less than five times in my entire life.
Oh, I think I've said it five times in the last three or four sentences.
Well, yeah, we have the evidence of that.
Oh, yeah, you could just rewind. Anyway, let's not use... I'm going to see if I've said that on Russian Machine. Just hang out with me for real quick. Straw that stirs the drink. I bet we didn't. That's one of those ones that just needs to get down. So I think, nope, no hits. So good on us. I think that, I mean, Brayden Holtby's going to be in net, and that surprises no one at all. The only question is, how many games is he going to split with Philip Grubauer, and is Grubauer going to be as good as he was last year? And because everyone knows that Brayden Holtby's going to save exactly 93% of his 5-on-5 shots. So I guess then that gets us to a place where there were some decisions made this week by the Capitals, and I guess primarily by Brian McClellan and Barry Trotz, about who to play and who not to play. And I think it speaks a lot to what the tone of this early season is going to be. Do you have the quote in front of you of what Barry said?
I don't have the quote in front of me. It's a rather lengthy quote. And Isabel from the Washington Post, she tweeted out the entire quote. The gist of it was that Barry Trotz preferred the lineup that the Caps are going with over on opening night over a lineup that might feature, you know, Juice and Bowie, because he thought that the veterans would bring stability. Stability was the word that he used.
Really?
Yeah. I have a lot. Do you have a lot of thoughts about that? I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Yeah. I guess let me just set the stage. Let me just stir the drink a little bit by saying that if there's anything that Barry Trotz has been criticized for in the past, it's been a reliance on his older veteran players at the expense of younger players that seem really promising, meaning like a lack of faith. His lack of faith in Andrei Burakovsky and Nate Schmidt was disturbing. And one of those dudes is gone. One of those other guys proved himself with a tremendous second round of the playoffs. But Trotz had been going for his olds instead of his youngins. And that is pretty reliably a bad move when you've got young guys as good as the Caps have had recently. And I thought that, of all the suffering that was coming from like the Caps offseason, which I'm not going to relitigate here because everyone's sick of that. But I thought that sort of put him in a situation where he really didn't have a choice. Like, he had to bust out with the young guys. And I thought that was sort of a chance for him to get like a shot in the arm and for the team to get a shot in the arm. Can Barry coach the young guys? Let's find out. And I guess that's not happening. What do you make of it?
Well, the fact that he used the word stability to describe what he thinks Brooks or Pick on the second pair over a guy like Juice is going to bring, or Ness and Tourney are going to bring. I don't know that stability is a good word. Maybe they're all known quantities. We know what they're going to bring, and what they're going to bring is mediocre play in those positions at best.
That is a kind of stability. It's just not a good kind of stability. So
I guess he didn't specify that he was. That it was good stability. Maybe he's looking for bad stability. Bad consistency. He wants them to be poor on a night-to-night basis.
Via Isabel Krishudian, I've got the quote here.
Okay.
Get some water. Here we go. The thing with us, the young guys... This is Barry Trotz speaking. The thing with us, the young guys are going to be the foundation of our whole organization. We're excited about the fact that we're going to infuse some young guys here as we keep going along. Right now, we just want to stabilize it. Right now, on defense, for instance, we're going to stabilize it with a little more of a veteran part of the roster to start. Because the first part of the season, especially the first three or four games, the matches are a little hairy. They're really ramped up because everyone is so excited. It gives our veteran guys, they've been through that a few times.
We're hoping that we will just settle it down as we get rolling and it settles down a bit. I think it gives the younger guys an opportunity to feel more comfortable. This is the point for young guys when they get to make a hockey team. Now they're going, okay, I made the hockey team and now I've got to find a place to live and I've got to do this. There's a lot going on that people don't think about. There's a little bit going on because they have to start dealing with life things. I think it allows them to settle in, get comfortable. We've got a lot of game and they're going to be a huge part of what we're doing here. So I think because Bowie doesn't have a hotel room and hasn't figured out what his taxes are. Barry Trott seems to say, I love what Barry does this because he's like, all right, Peter, here's exactly enough rope for you to hang me. He says 3 or 4 games. So if in game 5, we're still rolling this lineup, I'm going to start busting out the suspicious side eye and the thinking emoji. Before you respond, I just want to throw out the quote of Strings, Adam Stringham, host of 7 or 8 other podcasts and writer for Japers Rink. Interesting that the Caps won't be able to use their young players as, he says, scapegoats, but I'm going to call it escapegoats. If they have a slow start, can't blame when they don't play. Your take, Pat?
I think that the two things, there are a couple things that bother me about it. One was the fact that he's counting on guys like Ness and Chorney for stability, and the other, thinking it's going to be stable. And the other thing is, and speaking of Japers Rink, guys, JP was the one I was talking to him about this point. I think he made the point initially. The fact that a team who has, Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Alex Ovechkin, Matt Niskanen, Braden Holtby, et cetera, is plugging Taylor Chorney and Aaron Ness into a lineup for stability. That you need,
yeah.
You need stability from those guys. No, I mean, at best, it's just empty coach speak. And at worst, it's just terrible coaching decisions.
Let me play. It's not devil's advocate, but let me imagine what a plausible defense is. Mm-hmm. Like if he thinks that these guys are truly like a mess, and like Madison Bowie, or is it Bowie? Gosh darn it, it's Bowie.
It is.
With Madison Bowie. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're not from Maryland, understand that this was ingrained in me. It's not my fault. With Madison Bowie, there's like a bunch of
Madison Bowie. Advice. Sorry.
Yeah, with a bunch of Don Dawk. Arbutus, with the bunch of off-ice stuff that people worried about, like, whoops, I accidentally took an Instagram photo of me smoking something. If that's what Trotz is talking about, that sort of, like, nebulous character issues or something like that, okay, I get it. I don't think that necessarily affects whether that dude should play on opening night or not, and I certainly don't buy at least any on-ice argument for stability as like a virtue in gameplay that is brought to you by playing Taylor Chorney, who, like, while I think it's a menschy thing for him to be, the number 7 or number 8 D on the Capitals for the last 2 years, when he hits the ice, it's clear that he's a step behind, behind Carl Olsner. Like, he couldn't keep up with Carl Olsner. Not pace-wise, I think he was faster, but, let's get real, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really mind-boggling. I don't understand it. If they just want to do it for a few games, that's one thing. If this is the way the whole season's going to go, that blue line is in some serious trouble. We thought they might be in trouble, and we knew it could be a weakness this season, but we thought, Juice would get thrown in there, Bowie would get thrown in there, we'd see what they could do, and maybe one of the two would work out, maybe both of them kind of would. If not, there were going to be issues, and they're not being given the chance to work out right now. So there's issues with the blue line by choice right now.
Yeah, that's weird. Game 3 of the season is Monday at Tampa, mm-hmm. and then game 4, which is possibly the last game of this stability era, possibly the first day, the dawn of the youngins era, is Wednesday at home against a little team called Pittsburgh Penguins. We will not be writing about the lineup that day because we're going to throw as much shade as we can on the Pittsburgh Penguins for their political decisions, but that's neither.
Is that the day they're going?
They might go on the 10th.
Yeah.
They might go on that
Excellent.
Wednesday if they're off. So that's going to be just a total brouhaha. Oh, God. It's going to be on television, Pat. Although, you know what? Phil Kessel is going to be great.
Phil Kessel's always great.
Yeah, I hope that Phil Kessel, like,
throws out, I don't know, are there any like hand signs that you can throw that shows like union solidarity? Anyway, I guess at this point, because you've been such a negative dude in the conversation of the youth, and I guess I have as well, let's revisit the two stories that were published on the site today, one by you, one by me, where one of us had a sunny disposition and the other one of us had cranky pants. You were the former. Can you just summarize what you were sharing in your piece there?
Essentially that I think that despite the fact that the Caps had a pretty bad off season, I think what I said in the post was not all off seasons are created equal, because the Caps started from a point of having one of the best rosters in the NHL entering the off season. So while they had a really bad off season, they were starting from above most teams. And I think that their roster is still better than most of the teams in the NHL. And I touched on the article, the fact that a couple projection models agree with that and project the Caps to be in the top three in the regular season. And then I touched on some other reasons why I think the team is strong, and there's any number of them you can go down. The two I highlighted in the article is the fact that they have one of the best goalies in the league. And with Niskanen and Orlov, they have what I think is one of the best defensive pairs in the league.
And these the models that were saying, hey, the Caps are gonna be all right, were Micah's, is that right? Was it Micah's?
Yep.
And Dom's?
Yep.
Dom, I think, was of Hockey News, now he's with The Athletic.
Yes.
Micah's independent dude who runs Hockey Viz, and I think he changed the name of his model, but it was like Cordelia or Oscar or something.
Oscar,
like that.
I think was this year, yeah.
Cool. Just because you mentioned it, like the Caps offseason, I not going to relitigate it, but I want to just sort of state just an encapsulation of what it is. I wrote this in July that like there are four things that we all acknowledge are true about the Capitals 2017 offseason, which is that it was inevitable that the Caps would be a little bit diminished compared to the previous season, too, but due to decisions with management, they were diminished more than what they needed to be. But item three, they're still a capital G, capital T, good team, trademark, trademark, trademark. But most importantly, Nate Schmidt is a perfect human being that will bring sunlight to the universe in dark times.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page about that.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, so I couldn't let that your article stand. So I released my little bit of venom, which was, I phrased it as like seven possible bad things that could happen to the Capitals this season. But really, they're like possible ways that this could go wrong, that things that are perhaps in likely to varying degrees, such as just goal scoring cooling off because last season was not repeatable, not sustainable, both on a team level and on a TJ Oshie level, but also on like a Brett Connolly level when you get down to it. And then there's I honestly can't even remember it anymore, even though I was the one who wrote
injuries.
So the Capitals were the healthiest team in the NHL last season, which was, you know, good on them, but not something that they can bank on forever. There was also the like possibility. Did somebody like delete my article? I can't even find it anymore.
We weren't going to tell you, but
it does seem like it was pulled off the website.
It was there a couple hours ago when I was on the line.
I don't see. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm sorry. It was just later than I thought it was. Yeah, so injuries, because the Capitals were extremely healthy last season, but might not be forever. Number three was, it's really possible that, you know, the goalies won't be. They won, what was it called? The
Jennings.
Is it? Yeah. Yes. Jennings trophy, named after the main characters on the FX drama, The Americans. Trophy for best goalie tending in the National Hockey East League. Four is Oshie just not being awesome. I think an important part of the Oshie thing is not just like reversion of finishing, but also injury. A couple years ago, I made this really good bet with a person about Oshie scoring, and one of the argument scoring 30 goals, which I ended up being right about if you think about it. But one of the arguments against that, you know,
and it's not a criticism of the argument just because it was the losing argument, but one of the arguments against my point that Oshie would score 30 goals was that he's never played a full NHL season. He's prone to injury. And even last year, when he scored 33 goals, he missed like 14 games. That's nutso. I'm Pat, you don't have any reaction to that, right?
No, I have no reaction to the bet that I won.
The kid's not panning out. So, like, item five, I was really being, like, I was trying to predict that Barry Trotz would be like, yep, I'm going to put all these young dudes in. We're going to have, you know, Juice and Bowie. And
Madison
Vrana.
Bowie.
Yes. Jakub Vrana, Nathan Walker. And even, I know he's not that young anymore, but, like, Chandler Stephenson. Like, I thought that, like, you know, half those dudes would be in the lineup tomorrow, and they're not going to be. And, like, I really think that there's sort of like the silver lining here, which is that the Capitals could be fantastic if these players pan out. Like, man, if Bowie and Juice end up being NHLers who can play good second line minutes, the Caps are going to be pretty darn good. But if those guys are borderline, you know, third liners or AHLers, things are going to be bad. And six, I think, was just like, are we really adequately considering what it's done? What role Kuznetsov's line mates had in Marcus Johansson and Justin Williams in his success last year? We're about to find out, because he's playing with Ovechkin and Vrana, and those players are of a totally different profile than the ones with whom he enjoyed so much success last season. And the last one's if Ovi just farts off to Russia, which isn't going to happen. Anyway, like, I'm catching some heck from the relentlessly positive people on the team, but I worry that we're headed for a reversion this season. And I think, despite your pessimism, you're kind of inclined to agree. Am I right?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot less of a buffer this year. I think the past couple seasons, the Caps had the most talented roster in the league. And I think on top of that, they had a lot of really good fortune in terms of injuries and some hot shooting and things like that. So now, without the best roster in the league, with one that I think is still really good, but not head and shoulders above anybody, if some of those other things go wrong, like injuries and goal scoring and all that, things could get ugly in a hurry.
Yeah, you know, if we're like, man, the defense just isn't where it used to be, I would urge anyone who's really down on the team to look back at the defensive roster of, like, the 2009-2010 Washington Capitals. before Carlson and Olsner were playing, those were dark days. And even, like, you get, like, the Roman Hamrlik times in, like, 2012, and the Hamrlik was really good.
The team was good in 2009 time period with a weak blue line, but the team was really good.
Yeah, and there's lots of different ways to be good, and sometimes we concede too much to orthodoxy of, you know, a good team must be built down the middle, or, you know, defense first. Pithy little beliefs get proven wrong over and over again, and they also make hockey a lot more fun when they're violated. So I'm cool with different and new and exciting paths to successful and fun hockey, even if it's a little ugly on the way there.
And I think it could be a little ugly on the way there this year.
That's okay, though, because we've enjoyed a lot of success, and it'll be fun to write about different stuff for once. Before we get into predictions, I want to talk about two players that aren't with the Capitals anymore. I'll start with a guy that I thought was the best fourth liner for the Capitals last year, Dan Winnick, who today signed, or Wednesday signed, a $660,000 one-year contract with the Minnesota Wild. Pat, what do you think about that deal for Dan Winnick?
I think Minnesota got themselves a bargain, which you've seen more and more over the past, I feel like it's been like 3 years now where veterans are it's late August and they're not signed, and they end up going to camp on a tryout, and then
there's lingering forever,
right? And then all their leverage is gone. Most teams' cap space is gone, and they just kind of get thrown a bone, maybe if they're lucky, and get like a league minimum deal or a little bit more.
And there are few players to whom a bone should be thrown as much as Dan Winnick, because I think that he's a tremendous utility player, and I thought that he was going to get like a $2.5 million contract. I mean, he had a good scoring year last year. He was the best player on that line, I think. I mean, you know, there's a lot of like Jay Beagle defenders out there, but Jay Beagle certainly scored well last season. But Dan Winnick was the stir that strawed the drink.
Nailed it.
He was a good player on that line, I think, Pat.
Yeah, I'm with you. His speed on the fourth line is something that not a lot of guys that far down the lineup are going to bring. And not only that, he was good on the penalty kill, too. So I think the Caps are certainly going to miss him, and he's probably going to have some fun playing for Bruce Boudreau this year.
So, yeah, I think we'll get to that in a moment. I mentioned this, I think it was in Crashers, which, by the way, you can join if you support us on Patreon. Maybe it was in the Rush Machine chat, though. I said, wow, $660K, that's not a lot of money. Why didn't the Capitol sign him for that? And you were like, Peter, don't be dumb. That wasn't his price in the summertime. That was his price a day before the season started. Actually, the day the season started, right?
Right.
So, like, I guess I was like, well, dollars are dollars whenever you spend them. And I guess that was a little bit dim of me because, of course, his value diminished as his position of leverage dropped as well, right?
Right. I think by the time that his price had come down that low, the Caps had moved on and they brought in.
I would have liked him to be in a Capitals uniform this season, though. I mean, he has Bulldogs, too.
He does have Bulldogs. And at the price he's at, he's a great deal for the Wild.
Yeah, and if things don't work out for Minnesota, he's the kind of guy that you drop for picks at the deadline and you're still having a good time. The last dude before we get to predictions is another former Capital, Jaromir Jagr, who signed a one-year deal with the Calgary Flames. It's like about $1 million in salary and $1 million in bonuses. I think I got the outlines of that deal right. I am baffled. I mean, first of all, I'm glad that Jaromir Jagr is playing in hockey. You don't see that many 75-year-olds in the NHL playing, and it's encouraging that he's out there. But Calgary?
I was really surprised by that as well. He did say something, because he had a couple other offers out there, apparently. Apparently St. Louis also offered, but he said something along the lines
of... They lost
a
forward.
Right. Jagr basically said that he thought it would be cool to play for a Canadian team.
No, there's no way. That's one of those reasons you make up after you made a mistake.
I think he could have played other places this year for a $1 million base salary. I think that he could have had his pick of a few different teams.
I thought that too, but he didn't. And it's Alberta. And they're not making the playoffs.
Oh, they might make the playoffs. Their division's terrible.
I guess then let's segue to our final segment of the day. Let's go from west to east to finish with the exciting stuff. Pat, let's pick our division winners. Let's start with what I think will be the most exciting division in the NHL this season, the Pacific. Who do you think is gonna take it?
This division's terrible. It's the hardest one for me to pick. I think San Jose. I guess I'll just go with San Jose. I feel like that's a safe pick. But I do think Calgary is decent, just because their defense is so good. They have a really good top four, and it's a weak division. But I'll go San Jose.
Give me Edmonton.
Okay.
They've got Steph Curry or LeBron James or whatever the really good basketball
Curry.
Player
you got
is.
It, yeah.
But I mean, somebody's going to run away with it just by beating up on Vegas and Arizona.
Right. Yeah.
Who are going to be toilets? I think it's San Jose is going to be decrepit. they can't. Brett Burns is not going to do it forever. And I think that they may keep getting good stuff out of Thornton. I don't think they lost much in Marlowe, but like, I don't think that San Jose's got. I think that we're looking at the end of their era, just as we're looking at the end of the Washington Capitals, like, era of dominance.
Right, I agree. My pick of San Jose is not an endorsement of them, but more what I think of that division.
Okay. the lightest praise damning the Pacific Division. Let's move on then to a much more exciting division, the Western Division. I have a pick here.
The Central Division?
I'm gonna be right.
Of the Western Conference.
Yes, the Central Division of the Western Conference. The word Western was big at the top of the page as I was scrolling. I'm sorry.
Who do you have?
I have the Minnesota Wild.
Me too.
I thought that, oh, wow, okay, great. So, like, I think a lot of people are going to pick Nashville, and a lot of people are going to pick Nashville to win the Stanley Cup this year, I think. But I think that Minnesota did a lot of really interesting stuff last season. I think that Bruce Boudreau is a top three coach in the league. There was no team that has limited quality shots like the Wild did last season. And I think they ran into some goaltending troubles late in the year that were problematic. But I think that they've got – I think that I like the roster up and down. I think they made a big, great depth pickup in Winnick today. I think that they can keep it going.
Yeah, I'm picking them to win the division too, but that is a really good division. Chicago isn't as deep as they were, but they're still really good. Nashville's awesome. I think Winnipeg is a really solid team.
Yeah, I like the Peg.
That's a really, really good division. Four or five different teams have a chance of winning it.
One of those is not Colorado, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and I think Dallas had a really rough off year last season that shouldn't be like a mark on them. I think they're still a well-built team, and I don't know what the coaching situation is there right now, but if they've got good goaltending, which I think they do, like, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of competition there, and just like the Pacific beating up on Arizona and Vegas, the Central is going to be beating up on the Avs, which should be relegated.
To the AHL?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Coming to the real division, the Eastern Division. No, wait. Gosh darn it, Pat. The Eastern Conference and the Atlantic Division. This one's a little broader, I think. I don't think anyone's going to be running away with this one. But I do have my pick. What's yours?
I'm going Tampa. Stamkos healthy all year. I think they're going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is Stamkos this year?
How old is he? Yeah. I don't know. I would guess 28 is my guess off the top of my head.
He's 27 in 239 days. So.
Okay. So he's almost he's turning 28 soon. It's his age 28 season.
Is that how that works?
Generally, I think the way Hockey Reference does it is your age on February 1st of that season.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that they've got some defensive problems. I think they've got a little bit of a depth issue, but I think that they're, honestly, maybe it's personal bias. I like the way they play, and I want to see them do well in it. I'm not afraid to be rooting for my Leafs over there. But I see your point as well. I think that Montreal's going to be taking a step back. I think they're going to be kicking themselves over that Carey Price contract.
And that Carl Alsner contract.
I forgot about that one. Woof. Is he coming to town? Oh, he's playing in game two on Saturday night, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the home opener, right? Montreal?
Oh, my gosh.
We'll get a tribute video.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, he's going to get whooped. If there's anybody that's going to get
whooped. No, he's not getting whooped. No way. No, I hope he does, just as a rite of passage.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, the old school guys are like, you only whoop, and I can't even remember who the player is.
I think Larry Murphy was the original.
Larry Murphy, okay. Yeah, so, like, if you didn't play in 86, you don't get whooped anyway. Everyone gets whooped as far as I'm concerned. It's fun. All right, the division that everyone's been waiting for, the Patrick division, the Metropolitan. who do you have winning the Metro?
The hockey club from Pittsburgh.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it, Pat. Yeah. Right. I mean, like, so they're getting back Christopher Letang at some point. Is he back on opening night, or is he still?
As far as I know, yeah, he's back.
I don't think that they've gotten significantly worse in the offseason, and they have these two really promising centers on their in their top six, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. As much as I've said, like, you need to have more balance, you need to have a 3 or 4 line attack, Pittsburgh is good enough to do it without that. I guess I don't want to like cannibalize something you're working on. I think you're gonna be sharing with the Patreon folks or the Patreon folks what each of like the Rush Machiners picked for like a number of predictions,
right?
But where do you think the Caps are going to end up, either in the division or what have you?
I think they have as good of a shot at second as anybody else. I would pick them to go second. I think Columbus could squeeze in there. I think Carolina will be better this year and surprise some people. I don't think they're going to surpass the Caps this season.
Were you saying that because you know I'm going to brag about I'm going to like pump up the tires of the Carolina?
No, I didn't know that. But I mean, I think it's a good team to pump up their tires. I think they're good, and I think they'll be improved this year, especially if they get actual NHL goaltending.
Yeah, for the first time in a decade,
right? But I think they'll be better than people expect. But I would be really surprised if they finished above the Capitals, and I don't know. I don't think the Rangers. I think the Rangers, the Islanders, and the Flyers all could be fine. But if I were putting money on a team for second place, I'm going Caps.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Islanders are going to be bad. I think the Devils are going to be terrible. I think the Rangers and the Flyers are going to be okay. And then there's going to be. I'm a big doubter in Columbus. I think if Bobrovsky doesn't do superhuman stuff for them, it's going to be another rough year. But I'm not. If it all comes back to that, like those nightmare scenarios I was spelling out earlier, if Carolina is as good as I think they will be, and a couple of those bad things befall the Caps, I'm not sure that the Caps are going to run away with second place. I think that they're going to be a playoff team, but I think that it may be a battle in March. I really do.
Yep, but no, I think so too. I'm not saying they're going to finish confidence or finish second with a high amount of confidence. That would be my pick if I had to make one.
That said, my preseason predictions year after year just painfully suck. So don't listen to me. Anyway, I feel like we've done a whole bunch of meh about the season, and I don't think that our attitude towards like the hockey team's prospects and fortunes should be the same as our attitude towards a new season of hockey. Because I think that there's something about doing this like, hey, I'm insanely into hockey and the Capitals and these players and this team that transcends the W's and the L's and the goals against. And I'm really excited to do it again. It's an insane amount of work and it's a inhuman time investment, but it's so rewarding in a way that, I don't know, like being an Orioles fan for 25 years has not been, because I think that we've got like a stronger sense of community, and there's, you know, people that we know and can high five us, and we can turn this car into a car that every once in a while flies, like whatever that car is from Harry Potter, which, by the way, if you think about it, that's why they don't have technology in Harry Potter, because the more complex the machine, the more likely it is to like get an attitude and become sentient and become, you know, problematic. That's why they all use, you know, pens and stuff. You know what I mean, Pat?
Yeah.
What was I talking about?
I know exactly what you mean. No, we're looking forward to the season regardless of the team and how they're going to do. It's exciting in a different way this year, because there's a little bit more of an unknown. I think the expectations are a little different. And like you said so well before you went in to talk about some movies and books I've never taken part in, it's always fun to kind of be part of the community online and the Russian Machine community and interact with people and talk about hockey and get angry about it and be happy about it. You know, it'll be fun regardless of how it ends.
Let's just, I just one question before we part ways. Do you think that Barry Trotz will be the head coach on January 1?
Oof.
Yes or no, Pat? Yes or no?
No.
Same here.
Thank you for listening to the Rush Machine Podcast, everybody. This has been a blast. We're going to be doing these more regularly this season. And me and Ian will be trading off the hosting duties every other week. So you should be getting these more regularly with more variety. And I think that Ian's will be a lot more cheerful than mine are. So get ready for another one of these dissociative up and down episodes. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Pat.
Bye, Peter.
Good night, friends.
This has been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.